He marveled at faith, and he marveled at a lack of faith. So I want to be super clear here as we put our sub-points on the screen as we break down verses 6 to 8 as we go forward. When it comes to asking for wisdom, first of all this, we must not doubt. On the screen beside me, behind me. We must not doubt. Why is doubting such a problem? When we doubt in terms of asking God for wisdom, we're doubting the very character of God.
Welcome to Live in the Light today, where we are in our second message in the book of James, learning about wisdom. And I don't know about you, but I think wisdom is one of those things that I'm constantly seeking, wondering how and where the best options lie. What are the rules? Where am I hunting? I need wisdom in my job, in my relationships, in how to parent. Where do I find it? If you've been through a bit of life, you understand the value of wisdom. Don't you think, Robbie?
That's so true, Shannon. Great to be with you here today, Living the Light as well. And this topic today, again, is so, so massive. Wisdom. How do you overstate the importance of wisdom in our lives, and specifically in our context today, too, when it comes to difficulties and trials? Man, I think about wisdom so much, Shannon, because, again, as you said, we need it so desperately. I love Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. The wise person knows they need wisdom, especially when life is most difficult. So, man, James's book and letter, so practical, so powerful, so potent. And so I pray it meets you right where you are today. And then this huge, huge topic of needing more wisdom to discern and know what the will of God is for our lives. So again, excited to be with you, excited for God's word to speak to you, excited for the Holy Spirit to be teaching us today as we continue in our series in James.
And today we're going to be looking through James 1, and James 1 verse 5 says that exact thing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Let's get started. Need wisdom? I know I do. Open your Bible with me today to James chapter 1.
Let's get our Bibles open to James chapter 1. Last week, James, as we started this series, James launched us into the truth about trials. And today, closely connected, we're going to learn now about the worth of wisdom. Okay, so last week we launched into, James just goes right into it, and he's like, let's talk about trials. And now today he's like, let's talk about wisdom. But wisdom is so closely connected in our context to trials as well. Now, I love James's style. He just goes after it. Not a lot of fear of man, if any, a lot of fear of God. And he's just like not trying to impress people. He's not looking for a popularity contest. He just brings it, and leading people closer to Christ with the truth and grace found in him as well. And so wasting no time again today in James 1, he's like this, hey. He's like, church, you need wisdom. You need wisdom. You just need it. And he's like, here's how you get it. I love that. You need wisdom. That's helpful, James. And now he's like, here's how you get wisdom. That's helpful too. But he's also gonna say, here's how you don't get wisdom. That's also helpful. This is a good day to take notes, huh? It's like, you need wisdom. Here's how you get wisdom, and here's how you can guarantee you won't get wisdom. So if you're wise, you're like, I need to take some notes. Like, I need to learn. I need to learn more about wisdom in my life. Why? It is hard to overstate the value of wisdom, biblically speaking. It is very, very hard to over-exaggerate the value and power of wisdom in the life of the man or woman seeking the Lord. It's been one of the top three principles of my entire Christian life, because I can't get around how much the Bible talks about the value, the purpose, and the power of wisdom within our lives. Wisdom makes a massive difference in our lives. We've said for many years, wisdom, biblical wisdom, godly wisdom, saves us from so much unnecessary misery, heartache, and failure. Wisdom saves us, say it again, from so much unnecessary misery and unnecessary heartache and unnecessary pain through the consequences of sin. Wisdom is more valuable than gold. Wisdom shows us the will of God. Wisdom guarantees the blessing of the Lord, and wisdom bears enormous fruit through our lives. For example, if we just look at Proverbs 2 and 3 and what it says about the value and power of wisdom. Now, there's a lot here. I did that on purpose. I want you to stare at this for a few seconds, and I want you to try to take in just a little bit. This is two chapters in the book of Proverbs on the value and power of wisdom. Just grab a couple of those right now and apply them to your life and heart and say, man, if I don't have wisdom, then I can't understand the fear of the Lord. If I don't have wisdom, I will not be watched over with discretion. If I don't have wisdom, I will not be delivered from evil. If I don't have wisdom, I cannot conquer lust. If I don't have wisdom, then I won't see the favor of good success. If I don't have wisdom, in some sense, again, my paths will not be straight towards the Lord. I love this. If I don't have wisdom, then I won't sleep well. If I don't have wisdom, then I will fear evil. If I don't have wisdom, I do not invite the blessing and honor of God. I mean, like, do I need to say any more? I mean, just the power, the value, and the importance of wisdom from a biblical perspective. Now, James is fully aware of all of this too, and that's why he places it in the second paragraph of his letter to the church at large. I love that. So let's read our passage on wisdom today. And then let's jump in. I mean, I hope your appetites have been wet right now. Like, I hope, well, we're gonna learn more about this as we go. So I'll say that for a second. So James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, which is all of us, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him or her. Notice this, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. Why? For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person, I mean, again, the clarity of James and the Holy Spirit in this text. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Wow. He is a double-minded man, unstable, notice, in all his ways. Okay, so like this is a serious text. This is immensely practical and immensely spiritual and immensely powerful. So let's get started then. Number one, two main points today. Number one, I need wisdom. Or need wisdom? Ask God for it. I need wisdom or need wisdom, question mark, ask God for it. Again, James being so straight up, this doesn't require a lot of interpretation. He's like, hey, you lack wisdom, you gotta ask God. Now, before we go any further, let's define wisdom on the screen for you. Let's define wisdom. A couple of ways that we can define wisdom, biblically speaking. Here's one definition. Wisdom is the ability to live life skillfully. I want you to see the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing stuff. Wisdom is how to apply it rightly. Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied, right? So, a doctor can have the knowledge of life and life in the womb, but still kill that life. So that's a lack of wisdom. There's a knowledge, but there's no wisdom because you're not applying the wisdom or the knowledge that you have in the fear of God. My favorite definition of wisdom is this. Wisdom is seeing all of life from God's point of view. Now, you want to talk about having an advantage of life? Having an advantage in life? If you have the ability to see all of life from God's point of view, I think things are going to go pretty well, right? If you can view your life with a vantage point of God's point of view in every aspect, and you have his thoughts flowing through your mind, heart, words, life, and actions, that's a massive advantage over the person who doesn't. Is that fair? Like the person who cannot see such things and does not have wisdom, the person with wisdom will be supremely more blessed than the person who doesn't, because you are literally carrying forward with you the thoughts and the path of God that he is instructing you in the ways to go. I mean, wisdom is such a big deal. Therefore, a life without the wisdom of God then is a life that will be hitting their heads constantly against the wall. Right? Because they are so frustrated at the lack of progress and the misery that finds them because they're trying to live life apart from God as opposed to with God. Some of you are here right now. You've been banging your head against the wall for weight. You're so frustrated. You're just upset. You're angry. Why is it that? Because you have not been following the wisdom of God. You have been following the wisdom of self or world or man or whatever it is. And that in the end, that will not lead you to anywhere good. So it's wisdom that leads to maturity. And it's maturity that bears the fruit of wisdom. Now, in our context of James 1, wisdom here, if you look at it most closely, paragraph within chapter, within book, it's wisdom that allows us to stand in trials. When trials hit, how do we think? We need wisdom desperately to see and sense the leading and presence of God within our hardest moments. Wisdom also helps us to live and think eternally. So when we did that catechism, I love that. We did the catechism this morning. And all of a sudden, our minds are renewed with wisdom, right? I'm living for what's to come. And here's my future. Here's my heaven in the Lord and renewed earth and kingdom of God. And we sing it and we're filled with wisdom based on the truth of God and the purpose of our lives. James desperately wants to do that for us as well in this letter. Now, what I love about wisdom also is this. The wise... I say, how do I know if I'm wise? How do I know, Robbie, if I'm wise? The wise know they need more wisdom. Okay, so if you're here today right now and you're like, yeah, wisdom, you're like, yeah, I got it. No, you're not wise at all, okay? No, I'm so wise, I don't need any more. Foolish. The wise always know they need wisdom. And the Bible tells us one of my favorite verses on wisdom in the entire scripture is from James 4:7 is this, ready? The beginning of wisdom is this. Pen's ready to write down. What is it, Lord? What is it? The beginning of wisdom is this. Say it with me. Get wisdom. Awesome! Isn't that awesome? I love God's word so much. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get it! Desire it! Whatever you get, get insight. Whatever you do, the beginning of wisdom is this. Go get wisdom! The wise person knows they need wisdom. Are you wise today? One of the greatest indicators of wisdom growing in your life is right now you're listening to this introduction of this message and the first couple phrases in this passage and you're like sitting up straight, you're listening carefully, you are taking notes, you want to learn because wisdom is on the table. If any of you lacks wisdom, again, all of us require wisdom. All of us face trials. All of us, therefore, desperately need wisdom for the difficulty and heartache of this life. Notice from verse 5, so if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Notice wisdom is not of humans. Notice wisdom only comes from God. He doesn't say ask your friend. He doesn't say ask social media. He doesn't ask that. He says, let him ask God. Let him ask God. So we learn here, true wisdom is not achieved by human effort. You don't study multiple grades in university to get more wise. A lot of knowledge. That doesn't mean wisdom at all. Wisdom's of the Lord. Wisdom comes from God. And we receive wisdom from God in his word and prayer, in seeking him. The more of God in us, the more wisdom in us too and flows from us. Think when a trial hits your life, that is not the time for a man-made solution or human thinking. When a trial hits your life or my life, that is exactly the precise time we are in desperate need for the wisdom of God. Wisdom, see what wisdom does. Wisdom is watching for God in our context in every trial. A trial hits. Where's the Lord working? when a trial comes upon us and heartache, whatever, we're looking around, it's difficult, it's pain, there are tears of sorrow, all this stuff, but we're looking around, okay, God's here somewhere, God's in this. Wisdom is looking. What is God saying? What is God teaching? God is there. God is there in every moment. Wisdom knows it. A lack of wisdom curses God. A lack of wisdom blames God. A lack of wisdom just rejects God in our hardest moments and just goes for the ways of the world. Wisdom says, okay, I know the Lord is working and it's difficult, but I'm going to seek him and trust him in the process. And I'm going to listen for his voice that he might show me what I need to hear and how he will comfort me in the process. Notice the heart of our God in this text too. Again, look at verse 5. Let him ask God who gives generously. So, hey church, notice this. God's character is to give. I want you to see that. God's character is to give. Now, how do we know that? Well, it's right here. But I mean, the very gospel is the generosity of God. The heart of the gospel is the generosity of God, the outlandish, by the way, generosity of God in giving us his son. There is no greater act of generosity of giving than God the Father sending his son to die a horrific death and be murdered by the hands of those who created him to die for our sins. There is no greater act of generosity. I mean, Romans 8:32 on the screen for you, right? It says this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not graciously give us all things? Just look at that for a second. Okay, so what are we learning about God? He is infinitely generous. He is infinitely gracious. He loves to give, and give to his children. In our context, who gives wisdom generously to all without reproach, okay? So maybe you grew up with a stingy, miserly dad. Maybe you're aware of certain examples in your life where there's just a reluctancy. Maybe you had a father figure in your life where you come up and you ask and ask and ask. After a while, he just gets annoyed. Just stop asking me. Stop asking me. Enough of this already. And parents can be that way with kids sometimes. They ask and ask and ask, and eventually you're worn down. Like, just enough already. Leave me alone. I need to do something else. That may have happened once or twice in our home over the years. Maybe. Really? You're asking me again? Actually, it happened yesterday. But God's never like that. I love, again, see the heart of God in our text, okay? Who gives generously to all without reproach. Without reproach means he'll never mock you. He'll never make fun of you. He'll never be like, you're so stupid. Why are you asking this again? No, get away. He never, ever, ever does that. You cannot ask God enough when it comes to context for wisdom. For wisdom. He is always wanting to give his wisdom to his children. That's his very character. He's like, ask, 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 ask. Today you wake up, ask again. Tomorrow wake up, ask again. Next day you wake up, ask again, child. I want to give you my wisdom. Focus on the character of God when it comes to his generosity and the giving of wisdom. He loves to give wisdom. In fact, he longs to give us his wisdom. So consider the potential here then, the wisdom of God. We have the potential for the wisdom of God to flood into every thought, every word, and every action we take. That's what's happening right here. God is inexhaustible. He won't run out of wisdom supply. He is able to and longs to give us wisdom for every thought, word, and deed. So the question right now then is this, are we asking God for his wisdom? That's the question. Are you actively, intentionally pursuing God for his wisdom? And again, listen, truly, I don't want you to just nod your head and be like, yeah, I'm doing that. Well then, like, really though, like with your life, with my life on an ongoing basis, for example, have we asked God for wisdom in our schedules? Let's just get practical for a second. When's the last time you've intentionally and seriously pulled out your calendar daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, and said, God, would you give me wisdom over my schedule today, this week, this month, and this year? When's the last time you've actually done that? For a lot of us, the answer is, I should have never done that. Well, no wonder we lack wisdom. See, we're not intentionally asking God for his infinitely wise input into our daily lives. The things we take for granted, like this is what happened. The things we take for granted. We walk along, we show up to church, we go home and we forget about God until next Sunday, right? We're not spending time with him. We're not praying to him. We're not seeking his wisdom. We're not in his word. We're not whatever. And then somehow we expect his blessing to flood our lives. But he's like, well, time out. Like you spend no time. Like what's going on? How can you expect my wisdom to enter into your life when we never talk? Like if you want to get to know someone and hear their counsel, you should probably ask them. Right? That's what needs to happen. It's so basic. You're like, yeah. I just want God to kind of, you know, like do it, but are you gonna spend time? Well, I don't know. I don't know, maybe, but that doesn't work. Like that's the foolish person who spends no time with the Lord. In our schedules, what about in our vocations? Like, do you think God wants to grant you wisdom at work? 100%. Especially in your trials at work. God is longing to give you wisdom with the boss that is so difficult to work with, or the circumstance that seems outside of your control. He longs to give it. When have we asked for that? When have we sat down and said, Lord, I need your wisdom today in this situation with this individual and this circumstance? How about wisdom in our homes? When's the last time you've intentionally sought God for wisdom with your spouses, your children, your families? I mean, the need for wisdom in our marriages. Like the need for wisdom in parenting, like, oh man, the need for God's voice and leading and guidance. But you have multiple situations of people who have never really asked God for his help. Hence, you have negative outcomes. How about wisdom in our friendships? How about wisdom in dating? Please tell me, your young person seeking to enter into such relationships, beg God for his wisdom. These young people, they rush into these relationships and all of a sudden they're giving themselves away emotionally or physically or whatever it might be, in disastrous results through a lack of wisdom where the feelings and the emotions are so strong, you lose wisdom and you run in and then all of a sudden you're devastated and hurt and you're left there weeping in sorrow. It all could have been avoided by the wisdom of God. How about wisdom with his finances, not yours, his. It's all his. How about wisdom with his finances? The amount of advice Proverbs gives on, and James, by the way, even today or next week too, the wisdom on finances, because of how important stewardship and how we treat what God has entrusted to us ends up within our lives. So allow me again to point out the obvious. The greatest way to pursue the wisdom of God is through word and prayer, ultimately, where we will hear the voice of God. It's time with him. It boggles my mind how many people and professing believers who will fill their minds with social media, but will not fill their minds and lives with the word of God in prayer. See, it boggles my mind. I'm a believer, they say. I'm a believer. I love Jesus. I spend multiple hours, sometimes a day, on social media, filling my mind. Most of it is not great. That's being nice. But I have no time in the word and prayer. I have one word for you. Stupid. Right. When we put our theology on the table, God is the only source of wisdom. He brings all true blessing in our lives. He's the only one who can grant us such things, but I'm not spending time with him. I'm spending time in the world and all the crud that goes with that and showering myself with the filth of that and thinking, there's no other way to, foolishness versus wisdom. And I don't have to feel sorry about saying any of this because God's word says it over and over again. This is exactly how it goes. And so the reason I pursue the Lord, I seek to do it in his strength and grace the way I do, it's theology that I'm convinced of that works through my life. It comes down to as simple as this. Wise, foolish. I want to be wise. Seek the Lord. Ask him, pray to him, discipline yourself in the rhythms of what God blesses. Please, Holy Spirit, would you give faith, and desire and hunger and discipline and self-control by your Holy Spirit, that you might see an increasing number of people in this church body pursuing you in the desire for wisdom. Remember this too, Jesus Christ is the personification of wisdom. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 1:30. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 1:30. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. Jesus Christ is the epitome of wisdom. So more Jesus in your life, automatically more wisdom. The closer you get to Christ, the more wisdom that floods your life. Every step you take to Jesus is a step of wisdom flooding your life to influence you again for God's blessing. Not ease, but God's blessing. Jesus Christ, more Jesus, more wisdom. It really is that simple. Whatever you can do to get more Jesus in your life, that will lead to wisdom. So, need wisdom? Ask God for it. Here comes the challenging part to this message. Now, number two is this, ready? But if you ask, ask in faith. If you ask, ask in faith. Look at verse six again. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind, for that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So right away, we have a condition if I'm going to receive wisdom. I gotta ask God. I gotta ask God in prayer. I gotta seek the Lord God. I need your wisdom, but notice, I have to ask in faith. And notice immediately following that phrase is with no doubting. Let him ask in faith, not that simple, with no doubting. So obviously this is a big deal to James. Obviously this is a big deal to the Holy Spirit that has been given, the emphasis has been given, the command for faith and the warning of doubt. You know what's interesting to me too? Two things in the, you know, at least in the ESV, two things in the Gospels that Jesus marveled at, two things. Jesus marveled at faith and Jesus marveled at a lack of faith. The only two things that I can read in my Bible in the Gospels that Jesus marveled at. He marveled at faith and he marveled at a lack of faith. So I wanna be super clear here as we put our sub-points on the screen as we break down verses 6 to 8 as we go forward. When it comes to asking for wisdom, first of all this, we must not doubt. On the screen beside me, behind me, we must not doubt. Why is doubting such a problem? When we doubt in terms of asking God for wisdom, we're doubting the very character of God.
Hey, Live in the Light listeners. Listen, you've heard of Black Friday. You probably heard of Cyber Monday. But have you heard of Giving Tuesday? That's a time again for people who are fired up about ministries like Live in the Light to give on Tuesday, November 29th, to again ministries like ours to see the gospel continue to go forward and lives to be changed through the revelation of God's truth. Did you know that we are kept on the air on this station 100% by generous donors like yourselves? It's so true. We are dependent on you and the support and prayer again of our listeners to continue to see these messages go out, and we pray reach so many people again for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this year, we're excited to say we had a special donor step up, and they are willing again to match gifts up to $25,000. They're going to match again all donations up to that amount towards Living the Light in this giving season. So hey, maybe right now you would consider being used of the Lord to see how you can be used to give generously to Live in the Light that will continue to reach people. Again, a donor is going to match up to $25,000. We're so thankful for that donor and thankful for you for considering being used in this way at this time to see light shine in the darkness and to see those again without hope to find the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Bless you all for prayerfully considering such things.
That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light.